Do you want to hear the theme song?
Oh, God, yeah, yeah. Buddy watch, buddy watch, buddy watch with me. Let's talk about it, talk about what we've seen. Buddy watch, buddy watch, buddy watch with me. Let's get to talking, it's not just TV.
Hello, this is Buddy Watch, first official episode of the podcast where we watch stuff and overanalyze it. I'm Vaya. I created Neighbours, the Neighbours Recap podcast, and I have one of my regular co-hosts from Neighbours here.
Hi, I'm Kate.
And we've been buddy watching something. Kate, what are we buddy watching?
We are buddy watching the great Australian soap, The Block.
Which is unconventionally categorised as a soap. You might know it as a reality renovation series.
Vaya, it's got all the classic soap elements. Manufactured drama, weird rivalries, tradies. There's always tradies in a soap.
Are we going to get any breakups? Because I feel like we might be headed that way.
We might have breakups. We've got backstabbing. Look, all in all, if you look at it as a soap, you'll get a lot of entertainment out of it.
Great. Well, also, Kate, you've got a bit of expertise to bring to the table.
Yes. So I'm a homewares designer, but I've got a really big interest in interior design. And also, I've been watching The Block now for 14 seasons.
So one might say you've been around the block.
I've definitely been around the block.
Well, I've only ever watched it a few minutes at a time. Therefore, I'm the new kid on the block. And I've jumped in to the deep end. This last week, I've like non-stop block. This bad boy's on like an hour a day.
Yeah, and you're loving it.
I've done little else. I'm in deep, man. I just texted you a picture of a vertical garden that I saw on my travels.
Hey, you've gone immersive yeah. with the block experience.
So it piqued my interest, firstly, because I wanted Kate's. I like Kate's perspective as a designer. But also I was fascinated that what Channel 9 has done is dropped a cool 10 mil on a shoddy hotel in St Kilda.
Yeah, the hotel itself, which is the Gatwick Hotel, really has a bit of a sordid past. It was a hotel slash boarding house for kind of the down and outs of society. So a lot of people who were homeless, who had drug problems, who, you know, out of prison, that sort of thing, they went and lived at the Gatwick.
And from what I've read, I think those people are now living very close to the Gatwick. In the surrounding streets.
On the footpaths around the Gatwick.
So thanks, Channel 9. Really hoping that the winning team, if they turn a profit, put some of it back into St Kilda's local charities. That would be really great.
Well, it'd be good if Channel 9 did it full stop, I think.
Yeah, it's going to have to be a Good Samaritan that does it, really. Mm. And we are both from Melbourne.
And most of the series of The Block have been in Melbourne. I think all but maybe 4 seasons of The Block have been in Melbourne.
It is one of the classic reality show formats. So they buy a property, each team gets assigned an apartment or a house, and then they, I guess, gut it and build it back up again.
Yeah, over a series of, say, 12 weeks full of hijinks and challenges and
hilarious consequences.
And a lot of backstabbing.
Which I didn't believe you. I'm like, what are they going to backstab each other for? Like a plank of wood? But then I was proven wrong.
I mean, the greatest thing about The Block is that you're trying to pull the wool over people's eyes. So whether it's over the building foreman or the safety inspectors or your other contestants, because you're trying to get an edge over your competitors.
This is not just competition prize money. This is legit real estate cash. If it goes to auction and sells with a profit, that goes into your back pocket.
Oh my God, you can like make 600 grand off this show. It's probably the highest paying show on Australian TV.
Yeah. Now, the host of the show, Scott Cam, opens up with advising to buy the worst house in the best street.
So, yes, that they are alleging that Fitzroy Street is the best street in St Kilda.
Yeah, nah.
Would you say it's the second worst street in St Kilda?
Yeah.
I'd say probably worst street is Grey Street, which is known for street prostitution. And then Fitzroy Street, because it's kind of the main drag with no views or nice shops.
St Kilda is really where you can have really well-to-do members of society, really well-off members of society.
Because it's beside the beach, so yeah. That's the attraction of living there.
Location, near the city. You've got really rich houses there, and you've got people struggling to get by. So it's really a patchwork quilt of culture.
But Fitzroy Street, yeah, if you lived on Fitzroy Street, you're probably going to hear people doing burnouts.
Well, not so, it's not really not spacious enough for the burnout, but you'll be hearing some...
A few kebab bars, basically, at your front door as well.
You'll hear a variety, a cacophony of sounds. Mm-hmm. So for the uninitiated who might be joining us, who is Scott Cam?
Hold up for a moment there, mate. We're talking about Scotty, okay?
Okay, right. Yes, everyone's got a nickname. Got it.
Yeah. Well, I can give you some Cam facts if you'd like. One, his name isn't Scott Cam. It's Scott Caminetti.
Why has he shed his ethnicity? I'm appalled.
I have to say, I'm actually quite surprised. He doesn't really look Italian at all, does he?
No, must be diluted a bit through the bloodlines.
Cam fact number two, his wife's name is Anne Cam.
Jean-Claude Anne Cam.
And third fact, he first appeared on TV on the show Backyard Blitz, which was hosted by Jamie Jury.
Oprah's bestie, Jamie Jury.
Yes.
What was Backyard Blitz about? I mean, the title tells me a lot.
I'm pretty sure it was like a backyard renovation show. Okay. But do you remember that Jamie Jury was the original host of the block?
Oh, geez. Why did they... See, only in a man's world would the less supermodel-looking dude get the gig over the former model.
Well, I think the problem was because there was about like a six-year break between the second and the third series of The Block.
Jury was hanging with Oprah by then.
Yeah, Jury went over to Hollywood.
Yeah.
And yeah, so then they brought in his 2IC.
Okay, sure.
And Scott Cam is a delight.
Well, he hasn't won me over yet, I got to say.
Well, he'll grow on you.
Okay. He's not Scotty to me yet. He's just Scott. Let's talk about the blockheads. Thrilled to meet the contestants.
One thing you might have noticed, Faye, is that they represent each state.
Which made it really easy for me to tell them apart. So let's run through.
So starting off, we have Norm and Jess from Queensland.
I know that I call them the Queenslanders because they are Queenslanders through and through.
Yeah. So we've got Norm, who's 40 and a builder, and Jess, who's 33 and a breakfast radio host.
Norm and Jess from Queensland. Perfect.
Have you met anyone called Norm under the age of 90?
I hadn't until this week the block started airing, and then I got an email from someone at my work who's in a junior position whose name is Norm. Thought I was being catfished.
One other thing about Norm, and look, I'm only saying this because I've read this elsewhere as well, is that the Queensland sun has aged him a little. So he's probably looks 40 in Queensland, but in Melbourne he looks about 60.
Rightio, yeah. Yeah, they are fish out of water down here in Melbourne, those two, and it's great.
So secondly, we've got Bianca and Carla from Victoria.
Who are already my standout favourites. I call them Team Netty, the netballers, because...
Because both of them are 35 and ex-professional netballers. Bianca now works in sports welfare and Carla works in sports management.
And both tall drinks of water. And I got to say, the most important part of their profile, which I managed to source during the week.
They're the best tweeters on the block so far, aren't they?
Yes, they're very efficient. And I will inform you that Bianca was a goalkeeper and Carla says she was all about the glory as goal shooter. So goalkeeper Bianca, goal shooter Carla.
It's good to know. It's like the horoscope insight into their life, isn't it?
And they've got this like athletic competitive edge and they are just heads down, get into training, get it done.
Now we've got probably our most controversial couple so far, and that's Hayden and Sarah from New South Wales.
Oh, they're 90% of the show so far. Well, Sarah is 90% of the show so far.
So Hayden's 45 and a construction project manager, and Sarah is 31 and she's a former flight attendant, now stay-at-home mum.
And Sarah was born to be a reality show villain. It's almost like she, at primary school, when they said, what do you want to be when you grow up? She said, I want to be the mean person on a reality show.
I want to be Cruella De Vil.
Yeah. So they, to me, are the drama llamas. I don't even know if Hayden can stir up drama, but I'm shoving him in that category.
Well, when they introduced them, they said, he's from Gen X and she's from Gen Y.
Oh.
And yeah, that's a bit kind of creepy, isn't it?
It is. So what? Hang on. Did you say they have kids?
Yeah. Well, she's a stay-at-home mum. I think they have like a 16-month-old or something.
Well, someone else is staying at home at the minute.
Yeah. Oh, that's the thing with the block. So what happens if you've got children is that they stay in your home city looking after by grandparents, essentially.
Right.
And then periodically they'll let the kid come down and stay with them.
Just roam around the building site.
No. They stay off-site okay. In like an Airbnb or something like that. And it's nice and touching. They get some good footage out of it.
Now, tell me about your faves so far.
My faves are Kerry and Spence from South Australia. Spence is 46 and a prestige builder, and Kerry is 48 and a nurse.
And They are, without a doubt, sophisticates from the Barossa Valley.
That's exactly who they are.
100%. Also love that we have a Norm and a Spence. Like, that is pure...
Two sides.
Aussie building primo.
One thing I'm actually loving about this series of The Block in that how many builders there are.
See, I was a little disappointed because I was hoping for a little more calamity, you know?
No.
Fewer professionals in there just making a balls up of the whole thing.
It gets really tiresome after a while. It gets depressing as well seeing one team just fail at every hurdle because they don't have a builder or a tradie on their team.
Okay, so the lols have to come from somewhere else, I guess.
Yeah. Kerry and Spence have also had a house appear in Grand Designs magazine.
Oh, okay. I was impressed for a second and then you hit me with the magazine curveball. Now I'm less impressed.
And then our final team are Courtney and Hans from WA. Now, Hans is a 37-year-old commercial airline pilot and Courtney is a 33-year-old flight attendant.
Hence my nickname for them, the Mile High Club.
Nice. Now, they're known as the Renault rookies because they don't have any previous Renault experience.
Although I don't think the netballers have much experience either because I hear sometimes them getting called the Renault rookies as well.
Well, one of them, I can't remember which one, has just renovated her warehouse apartment in Prahran and the other one is the daughter of a builder.
Also, I kind of love this trend of just putting sports people on reality shows because they can literally do anything. So they've got at the moment Aussie Survivor is running on Channel 10.
Oh, yeah, the Commando's in it. I love the Commando.
They've got the Commando from The Biggest Loser and then like 12 other professional sports people.
Oh, like Shane Gould. Isn't she like 110 now or something?
Doesn't matter because all those sports people can just do anything on Survivor. They're like digging holes and starting fires and parasail. I don't know what they're doing, but I just love it. So just give the netballers toolbox and they can build a house. Love it. So we got a little taste of them during the week. How we're going to do this is we're going to build to each room reveal each episode of this podcast. So at the moment, we'll do a little spotlight on the first room reveal. I love saying room reveal. It's just a really great alliteration and it's just really exciting.
See, you're fully embracing the block experience now.
I've done little else. It's so many, I've logged a lot of man hours with the block this week. Talk us through what a room reveal is, Kate.
Every week they have to reveal their completed room. That means they have to gut the previous room, rebuild it, redecorate it and have it polished and ready to be judged.
Get put props in it.
Yeah.
Which some people seem to do as their only task.
Yes.
You, hey, spouse, you build this house, this apartment. I'm going to go to the shops.
Well, that's actually an important block trope. One person needs to shop, one person needs to stay on site. And if you don't do it that way, shit will hit the fan.
Okay. I swear there was one episode during the week where Courtney from the Mile High Club spent a good 6 hours in a car trying to go get tiles.
Yeah, actually, that was a bit of block manufactured drama, that one.
One thing I was shocked to learn as the new kid on the block, I was horrified to learn that this mob stay on site to live for the next 3 months.
So that delighted me that you didn't realise that. But that's like a classic Survivor thing, is it? You have to stay in the most horrible place possible and then that will create drama.
While the crew's over the road at the nice hotel. So this is literally like... There would have been syringes in the floorboards at this joint.
Well, this is another thing where I'm going to pull the wool back from your eyes here, Vaya. So we saw some pretty so for their first task, they had to actually design a kid's bedroom and the best room that they designed would get the first pick of the apartments.
So there's 5 apartments in the block that they choose from that they're going to run with for the whole series and try and sell at the end.
Yeah. So that, look, you get to choose what you deem is the best apartment for you to renovate.
And you and I immediately landed on the obvious choice as the best apartments.
Yes. And that didn't work out in the end. But anyway, we're getting ahead of ourselves. So going back to this kids room challenge, everybody was, well, they were assigned a room that they had to redecorate. Now, these rooms were filled with what was meant to be the trash that was there when they bought the building, like grotty old mattresses and the walls falling apart and just crap everywhere. And Vaya was like, oh my God, they're going to like find needles here. And I'm like, wait a minute here. That would have all been put there by the production company.
No.
There would not be one syringe left in that building, I'm sure.
What about, there's got to be some legit bodily fluids there. There's got to be some real crime scene spatter.
Personally, I wouldn't have wanted to touch anything with my bare skin. I would have been like completely up in a hazmat suit.
Okay, so I work in TV. I've never worked on a reality show. I'm fascinated by it. I've got mates that have worked on them.
Mate, if you're not on the next season of The Block, I'm going to be sorely disappointed.
I would have been of no use to anyone on The Block. So they each start on their kids' rooms, which I think is a weird juxtaposition of these whimsical little children's rooms in what is dubbed...
Well, basically a DOS house.
The Hell Hotel. It's grim.
Well, also, these first room challenges give the judges an insight into kind of the decorating style and the amount of effort the individual contestants put in as well. So Scott Cam announces that they've got a budget of $220,000 in which to renovate their whole apartment, and they can use as much money as they like to do this initial kids' room. The payoff being that you get to choose. If you spend more money, it's more likely that you'll get to the chance to renovate the apartment you want to.
They've given them these little narrow crevices to put kids' rooms in, by the way. There was like barely a pantry space to put a kids' room in.
Basically a single room for what the hotel would have originally been.
Yeah, twin bed only.
So the first room we looked at was South Australia's kids' room.
Yes, the Sophisticates from the Barossa.
Now, I think we can put kids' room in inverted commas. It was a stunning room and it had the most beautiful coffered ceiling.
Yeah, coffered ceiling's a memory. What? It's a kind of a crisscrossy. You say design words.
Well, it's basically a grid on the ceiling that's built up, so it makes the ceiling look as though it's separated into boxes. It's a very classic, classy look.
Looked beautiful. Spence nearly had a hernia making it.
Yeah.
Day two, he was in tears. Day two, mate. Save some tears. Down the line.
They're my favourite couple, but it does worry me that he's got a touch of the whinger about him.
It looks as well, it's a beautiful room, but it looks a bit like the bedroom that a daughter of divorced parents would have set up at the parents' house that she doesn't live with full time.
Yes, that could quite easily be a guest bedroom.
Yes, but you've got a picture of a horse on the wall, wide, a long face, and a pink throw, and then that's your daughter's room when she comes over on every second weekend.
They're trying to pass it off as, oh, a teenage girl's room, but one thing that would have really easily saved it was having some more kids' artwork on the wall. That would have really set the tone far better.
And that spotty cushion they've chosen is sweet. A bit more of that kind of playful pattern.
Now, they spent $7,820 on that room.
Is that a lot or not? What is that? What is that?
I'd say that's kind of an average kind of price. So the second room we looked at was New South Wales.
Which was a blank room with a teepee in the corner.
And one of those felt ball rugs in it and a knot cushion. It just felt like so cliched. Like, we've been seeing that same kids' room for about 5 years now. And
those knot cushions are at Kmart. I've seen them.
Yeah.
And the teepee is a little cultural appropriation, I've got to say.
Oh, it had slogan art as well. That's I looked at that room and I yawned. I'd seen it all before.
What was the slogan?
I can't remember now, but they're all the same. Semi-inspirational. And they had spent...
Semi-inspirational. Just aim for mediocrity, little one.
So they had spent $10,776 on that room, which is a lot of money, Vaya.
Did it all go onto...
I don't know where that money went.
Is it an authentic teepee?
Because their bits and pieces and knickknacks just looked a bit cheap.
Then?
We had the Victorian pair. They had kind of a Pinteresty inspired room with a dark ceiling.
And I learnt the term triple bunk, which I'd never heard before.
Had you never heard of that?
No.
It's very backpacker chic. So it's like double bed on the bottom, single bed on top.
It's speaking to its roots then, this room.
Yes. But it's kind of not comfortable for anyone, the triple bunk.
And a bitch to make. Yes. But also I've noticed in subsequent episodes, they're sleeping in these rooms now.
Well, that's what you do if you're crafty. So Kerry and Spence, they're fine. So they've got like a queen-size bed to sleep in.
Yeah, just like every tween.
Sarah and Hayden, you're going to have to share a single bed or someone's going on the floor.
Yeah. And Bianca and Carla can triple bunk it.
Yeah, so they spent $7,278. So a similar figure to South Australia.
Now, a bit of a controversy here because they got raked over the hot coals because they had a little ottoman pushed up against the windowsill, which everyone declared a hazard.
Which as soon as I saw that, because I've got two small children, I thought, no way would I do that.
But I'd like to say, judging panel, that you know what can be moved? Detached furniture.
That's true.
You can pop that onto a different bit of the room. Problem solved.
Yes.
So weird thing to mark them down on.
Okay, so the fourth room we looked at was Queensland's.
Controversially, they did not finish.
Their actual finish wasn't great either. They did finish wasn't finished well.
They had bubbly walls. They didn't make the bed. Make the bed, guys.
Yeah, well, they'd bought linen, but then it got lost. I don't know. It was a bit of a stuff up. But
j'adore the little painting, though, of whatever that woodland creature is next to a rainbow.
I think it's a bear.
It's so sweet.
Now, they had kind of the worst OH&S issue with their room in that they'd put the bed, they built in a bed under the window.
See, that's problematic.
I have a three-year-old and she jumps on her bed. If she was jumping on her bed and fell against the window, she would fall to her death.
Yeah, that's going to get the Gatwick back in the news. So well done, Queenslanders.
Yeah. So they spent the least on that room, which was $5,464.
Yeah, that's apparent.
It looked a little bit empty other than that.
And we rounded off with the Mile High Club.
Yes, WA. Their room wasn't too bad, I don't think.
I loved this ceiling.
Oh, yeah, they had like a wallpapered ceiling with clouds, kind of like you're in the Sistine Chapel.
The creation of Hans.
Also with little hot air balloons suspended.
So sweet. Plays to their aviation background.
And again, they had a bit of problem with their execution, though, like some kind of shoddy details. They had wallpaper that was bubbling. They had bits chipped off furniture.
Oh, they've got this little pom-pom rug too. What's that trend about?
It's so tragic. That was something that was fashionable maybe 3 or 4 years ago. I wouldn't have used it. I thought all the judges were going to look at those and go, seen it all before, kids.
They didn't. They liked the dullest room, I thought.
So they spent $8,411, which was the second highest figure, but it was all kind of in that middle band. So similar to South Australia and Victoria.
And who got awarded the prize?
Well, I was shocked by this. It was New South Wales. Mind you, they'd spent the most money. So maybe there was things that didn't come across well on TV that came across to the judges.
TP in the corner.
And that meant that they had the first pick of the apartments.
The options are...
So there's two penthouse apartments, which are actually new builds on top of the old buildings. So they're going to be kind of basically light-filled and beautiful.
Which I kind of feel like is cheating. Like, if you're going to buy the block, you've got to stick with what you got. You get what you get and you don't get upset. You don't build extra penthouses on top.
This is how Channel 9 makes their money back. Okay. And then formerly the top stories of the Gatwick.
The previous penthouses.
Yes, there's two apartments there. And then there's one on what would have been the second level of the block.
And one of these has a safe in it.
Yes, and that's the one that's on the bottom level.
It was going to be billed as a game changer. Like, what's going to be in the safe? What's going to be in the safe?
Vaya got quite excited by this, whatever's in this game-changing safe.
Yeah, I was ready. I was ready for bloody another netball team in there.
And what did I say would be in it, Vaya?
Oh, it's probably just going to be vouchers.
And cash. Yeah. Vouchers and cash. So
yeah, I was promised a game changer.
Well, look, we were speculating about what would be in the safe and I was saying it's going to be cash, it's going to be vouchers, or it's going to be a dead junkie.
And I thought, okay, I like your thinking. However, live junkie might have been a good option because then maybe they could have weighed in on the design decisions. And maybe
a bit of heroin chic.
Yeah, they could have speculated how they would have liked the room finished.
If it was going to be a genuine game changer surprise, that would have been a game changer.
I just found the slogan on the Drama Llama's wall, "Oh, the places you'll go."
What's that? Is that Dr. Zeus?
It's Dr. Zeus. Yeah. But it's just basic.
Cliched. Yeah, basic.
But they don't pick the penthouse, old mates, New South Wales.
No, they choose apartment 3, which is on the middle level but north-facing.
We got views too, Sydney. Like, just because you can't see a bridge doesn't mean people don't want to look out the window of the penthouse and enjoy the sights of Melbourne.
If you look on our Facebook page, you'll see our little drawing of the apartments and their orientations. Now, for me, the primo apartment to pick would have been the north-facing penthouse because you get a view over the bay and the beach and then a view up to the city at the same time.
What number's that one?
That's apartment number 5.
Yep.
So coming second was South Australia. They chose apartment number 1, which is the one with the safe. But it has no views.
Bunch of vouchers in the safe. It's like they've all just turned 13 and no one can buy them toys anymore. And so they've opened up their birthday cards and it's just all vouchers. JB Hi-Fi, away you go.
Actually, there was a voucher for the smart toilet. And I was like, I don't know what a smart toilet is, but I want one.
I want one from the bloody cats.
Coming third was Victoria. And they chose the apartment I choose, which is the north-facing penthouse.
This is why I've got my money on the netballers. I trust them.
They've got their head screwed on right.
If you need, we're up here in the good apartment.
And then coming fourth was Queensland. And to quote them, they Bradbury'd their way into a penthouse.
Stephen Bradbury, known as the Winter Olympic speed skater who won gold after all the front runners toppled over in front of him.
Yep, and he skated through fourth one.
He's an Australian hero and our first Winter Olympic gold medalist.
Yes. Coming last was WA, and they got apartment 2, which is the south-facing apartment just under the penthouse. And that is also the biggest apartment. So the Reno rookies got the biggest apartment.
Yeah, so the losing teams got the better deal.
Well, that's the thing. Like, everyone else in previous years who have gone for the safe have not ended up winning the most profit. There's no point to it. At the end of the day, you're not passing on the contents of the safe really to your buyers. The money's in the view.
So let's round off with my highlight of the week, which was kicked off by the safe. The safe kicked off a chain of events that was delightful. And then next time we reconvene, we'll discuss quote-unquote bathroom week because yep. They've moved on to their homes for the next few months and they're starting with the bog.
One other benefit of winning the kids' room was that you'd actually get your budget back that you'd spent, but you had to choose it from another contestant.
Right, so you've got to rob from the poor, basically.
Yes. And then Kerry and Spence decided they'd do a bit of cunning gameplay and they'd go up to Hayden and Sarah and say, mate, we were just very lucky with what we got in the safe, so you can take the money off us.
See, you call it cunning gameplay. I just call it benevolence.
No.
I see it as we are rich. We have riches. You
yeah.
take from the rich and leave the poor alone.
But part of the cunning gameplay is to not reveal what was in the safe. Just go, oh, I am rich as the queen here. Guess what? I'm going to intimidate you all with my newfound wealth and you guys will all be quaking in your boots at right. my gold-plated taps that I'm able to put in.
So instead, Spence is...
Well, Spence said, we're very lucky. Then they go, oh, what did you win? Spence goes, oh, I'm not going to say that. And then Kerry goes, oh, yeah, we got a heap of cash and vouchers.
They, yeah. they should have said there was a junkie in there. His name's Pete. He's going to help us out with the interiors.
Turns out he's a stonemason.
Can you talk me through the chain of events that set off Sarah with the 700?
Oh, my God. Okay, so the plumbing and all of that sort of utilities for each apartment runs under the floorboards. So that means in order to gain access to that, they have to go into the apartment underneath.
So if you think of it as the Friends apartment building, you've got Monica and Rachel, and then above them you've got Mr. Heckles. So Mr. Heckles' plumbing runs through Monica and Rachel's ceiling, is that
exactly,
right?
Exactly, okay. Yes. So that means that if it's bathroom week, like it is this next week, you have to get all your waste pipes sorted before your neighbours put in their ceiling. But also, they can't really have trades working underneath what's going on
and
above
just,
their heads.
And just as a side note, good to get your waste pipes sorted anyway. Book a colonic in.
Well, actually, horrifying truth of the block you may not realise is that their plumbing isn't actually connected until after the contestants move out, which means that the contestants are all using port-a-loos and port-a-showers.
No.
And they're sharing it with all the other contestants.
Port-a-loo! Couldn't escape if I wanted to. No thanks. I'm out. Vaya's out. Day one. Day two, Spence crying.
Yeah,
so day one, port-a-loos, I'm out. See you guys. Take your cash and stick it.
So what this means, though, is that tradies from the floor below you all get held up while your tradies finish. And it ends up being this cascade of delays.
So that's why Drama Llamas Hayden and Sarah were late.
Their tradies were holding up Spence's tradies downstairs. So Spence says, oh, look, I know I owe you $10,778. But you've held up my plumber for X amount of time.
So let's call it even.
Let's just say I'll give you $10,000 and you can write the other $778 off. Hayden's all like, oh, I don't know about that. And Spencer's like, well, take it or leave it. I've got the $10,000 here in my hand. And so he's like, oh, okay.
And he committed the cardinal sin of the block and he didn't check with the missus.
And I would check with this missus because she's a control freak.
And she cracked it. That he hadn't checked with her and suddenly she's like out of pocket $700 and she just puts her little thinking cap on and decides,
oh, well, I'm going to like transfer that debt up to the ladies upstairs.
Yeah. Knock, knock on their door. Hi, you're...
Hang on. You don't have the right amount of rage in your voice. She was fully raging.
Also, weren't they the ones earlier in the week that wandered off with their door, with the netballer's door?
Oh, yeah.
And the netballer's can you have my door back, guys?
That's all right. That door fits my door hole.
Because we are going to be using official terms like door hole here.
She said, oh, well, your tradies delayed us, which delayed Spence downstairs, and he's charging us $778 for that. So you can pay that bill. So you owe us $778.
And the netty gals replied appropriately with,
no.
What are you talking about with the $700? Yeah, nah.
Nah. Nah. Nah. Get out.
And that's how you stand your ground, people. Idiocy is staring you in the face and you just say, no, thank you.
Do not justify. Do not argue. Do not defend. Do not explain. No is a sentence.
What's that handy acronym?
Don't jade.
I'm in like Flynn with this lot. Team Nettie all the way. I'm going to be wing defence for them over in the corner.
Queensland has seemed quite lovable so far. Look, I like Kerry and Spence. I think they've got the best design skills, but he's a touch of the whinger and he might be a little bit lazy.
And Sarah's a hot mess, but I wouldn't change a thing about it. I want more.
You wouldn't change your eyebrows?
Nah, she's going with a style there.
She's got some fierce eyebrows going on.
That's where all her powers come from.
WA, what's our thoughts on that? They just seem a bit lost so far.
They've been our Calamity Jane so far because they've had tradies not turn up.
They've got the opposite of the Midas touch, don't they?
They're the Eeyores of the group. Just rain clouds over their heads.
Can you see the soap elements of it now?
There's a few lulls while they're building and driving around. But once they're in stealing each other's doors and...
Poaching tradies.
And tell me about those people. I call them Tim and Gun, the two blokes that come in and give them all advice.
Now, when you referred to them as that on Twitter, I had to Google Tim Gun. Can you explain who he is?
He's the sassy designer on Project Runway that mentors every contestant and gives them advice, and they'll hold up a frock and he'll go, oh, do you really want to have that hemline? And then they redo everything.
So he's not a judge at the end of the day.
No, he just helps them out.
Your Tim and Gun are Keith, a.k.a. the Blockinator.
Fantastic.
And Dan, who's his offsider.
Does he have a nickname?
Oh, what's his name? So Keith's the foreman of the site. Dan is the foreboy. That's literally what he's called on the show. Dan is an ex-contestant. I'm pretty sure he was from 2012.
Dan is the equivalent of Kermit the Frog's nephew. He's just sometimes there following around his superior.
So Keith is the foreman. That means he's like the head builder on site and he has to sign off on everything they do. So when it comes to, say, like plumbing, he has to give the okay that all the waterproofing has been done correctly because at the end of the day, it's his signature that goes on the block.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So he is tough as nails with the contestants, but he's also a teddy bear with a heart of gold. And I really like him because they all of them try to con Keith. And so he's got to be like the bastard school principal in order to keep them on the straight and narrow.
And who's Robin the Frog?
Who is Robin the Frog?
Kermit's nephew.
That is Dan. So Dan, the foreboy, he was actually a contestant on The Block 2012 when it was in South Melbourne.
But this is one of the recurring breeds in the reality genre, the contestant that is reincarnated as a star.
Yes. Dan, you'll love to know this. His wife is Danny.
Dan and Danny.
Yeah.
That's probably all that they put on their application.
And he's a builder as well. So he kind of goes around, helps out, gives advice as well, and then he will also do the, we need to get Keith in on this.
Does he say Keith with an F?
No, I'm pretty sure he says it with a F.
Okay, right.
Did I say Keith with an F?
Sounded like it.
Because that's my brother and sister and I. We don't always do that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. So pick me up on that and I will correct it. Yeah, because I'm going to be like.
No, I think it makes it authentic. It's a real true blue Keith flavour. I'm going to call him Keith. Well, that's that. We're going to reconvene to assess the bathroom room reveals Sunday night.
This is
7 o'clock.
I'm already a bit excited about it. They're looking good so far.
I was swindled by the marketing of The Block and I tuned in Monday night at 7 o'clock and A Current Affair was still on.
Yeah, they're not shifting groomers for that. It's 7:30 o'clock.
Well, that does not work for me. What do I do between 7 and 7:30?
We have downtime. You can eat your dinner. I can put my kids to bed in that time.
Neighbours 6:30, 7 o'clock dinner, 7:30 is The Block on weeknights. This is a hot mess. We would love you to buddy watch with us. And if you're international, let me know how you are enjoying The Block remotely. Find us on our socials, Buddy Watch Pod, Facebook, Twitter and Instagram.
And we'll upload some pictures of the kids' room reveals courtesy of Channel 9.
Kate is on Twitter.
I'm at Remued, which is R-E-M-U-E-D.
And I'm Vaya Pashos. If you're enjoying this, please share it with a mate. Give us thoughts on what you'd like to hear in future episodes. And we'll chat to you guys on Sunday night.
Bye. Bye.